You're listening to Third and Chill with Michael Verska and Matt Chilvers, coming at you from Utah State University, where we talk sports.
Line to left field and deep. Gone! Aaron Judge with a two-run homer.
What's up, sports fans? You're listening to Third and Chill. I'm Michael Verska the Third.
And I am Matt Chilvers.
And we're here to talk some sports with you guys. So basically, we want, because it's our first time, we wanted to explain the little purpose of the show. We'll be talking NBA, MLB, NFL, covering some controversial topics. Quick warning for all you listeners, however, we may be sarcastic in our comments. Does not diminish our sports knowledge. However, we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Now, I'm excited for tonight. We got a good show.
Anyways, yeah. So we got a full lineup for you guys tonight, and Matt's got our first topic.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to let you select our first topic for tonight.
Oh, I'm selecting. Okay, oh, yeah. Here we go.
Oh, you got your choice between some MLB stuff, some NBA stuff, or some NFL stuff.
You know what? As we're recording this, the wild card game is going on. Hit me with some MLB.
Let's go. Let's start with some MLB. So, the MLB playoffs just started. We had a game last night between the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. I don't know, any thoughts about that game? That was pretty intense, actually. It was a pretty entertaining game. We both saw that together.
Yeah, I was absolutely shocked. I was coming in thinking that, well, hoping at least that pitching would play a part, because playoff baseball is a little better when pitching happens. But, I mean, Luis Severino had an out? Irvin Santana lasted an inning or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, from start to finish, it was exciting. Brian Dozier would lead off home run. I was shocked. It was a good victory, good baseball game.
Yeah. No, it's. I think it's. Let's just go right into that then. New York versus Cleveland series, because I honestly I'm very intrigued by this. I think it has the potential to be a good series. Kind of going into the playoffs, I kind of thought that Cleveland was gonna win this, or at least they're gonna make it out of the American League without a problem. Yeah. I still kind of believe that. I still kind of think that Cleveland is the best team in the American League, and I don't think there's too many people out there that's like willing to challenge that thought. But if there's one, you know, dark horse in the playoffs and in both leagues right now that I would be scared of, I think it's the Yankees. What do you think?
That's a lot coming from Red Sox fan, but you know what? I was honestly shocked by them last night. I thought they were down 3-0. I thought they were going to kind of roll over. I did not expect that bullpen. Their bullpen is special, to be honest. David Robertson threw three innings last night. Career high, just absolutely lights out. I mean, with that bullpen, which is a key essential part of a good playoff run, they have the stuff. I mean,
all right, so do you think New York has enough to maybe challenge Cleveland for?
You know, I think they're going to challenge them. I think they win at least one game. I think Cleveland still pulls it out because they're starting pitching depth.
Okay, so what game do you give New York? What do you think?
I give it the first. I give it
first games. Trevor Bauer and Sonny Gray.
I think the Indians win just because it's at Progressive Field. I think game three is the one the Yankees take. It'll be back at Yankee Stadium. It's like a little league park back there. So Aaron Judge can hit a line drive out of that Parker. He's gonna need a couple. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting actually getting the news a little earlier today, like about Trevor Bauer starting game one, because Corey Kluber doesn't want to pitch on short notice. And I don't know. I kind of took that as just as Cleveland's way of saying, yeah, I think we're gonna pull this off. I think we're pretty confident going into the series. We're just gonna go ahead. And then Trevor Bauer's actually, he's doing really well. Actually, in the month of September, he's pitching with a 2.90 ERA.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's not like, I mean, compared to when he first started, when he was, I mean, for the first couple months of the season, I want to say that guy's ERA was like, it was north of four, probably five. Yeah. But I don't know, as of late, he's hot.
Yeah, I remember I went to the College World Series one year, and UCLA was playing, Trevor Bauer was still there. And, I mean, Trevor Bauer had like a point. 2 ERA in college was ridiculous, but I mean, when he has his stuff on, it's pretty impressive. He's got a curveball that's absolutely wicked, and I mean, in today's game where hitters are just trying to hit it out of the ballpark. That can be crucial. So, I mean, it's a cocky move by the Indians, but we'll see if it pays off, I guess.
Yeah, Sonny Gray, on the other hand, is not doing so hot.
Mr. Inconsistent. He's got a
4.58 ERA in the month of September, so not quite coming into the playoffs as hot as maybe Trevor Bauer. But I'll tell you what is that, is those Yankees bats, man. Watching that Minnesota game, I mean, they were cranking it. That offense scares me. But I don't think that's enough to overcome Cleveland.
I agree.
Okay? Because if you got Corey Kluber game two, okay, say Trevor Bauer, you know, pitches a quality start, then you got Corey Kluber game two. I mean, that's not looking good for the Yankees. I think the only way New York stands a chance against Cleveland is with that bullpen, like you were saying a little earlier. I think if they somehow outperform Cleveland's bullpen, which would be difficult.
They got Andrew Miller back, so.
Which would be difficult. It's possible.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm scared of the Yankees just because, I don't know, they gave my Red Sox some trouble early in the season, or actually throughout the entire season.
They won the season series against you guys.
Yeah. So, like, I think they have a potential to do some damage. I don't know. But, again, I think it's down that bullpen. And we saw flashes of excellence, really, in the Yankees bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty dang really good, man. We saw David Robertson.
Robertson.
Pitching against Minnesota. I mean, that shut down pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way they're getting past Cleveland is it's stellar pitching, and man, they need those bats to stay hot. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so let's actually move on to another intriguing matchup. This one's coming at us tomorrow night, actually, and that's Houston and Boston.
Ooh,
and that'll be an interesting one.
Caution for bias
at
here.
Houston. It's got a 2:08 start time. I don't know. What are your initial thoughts about this series?
You know, maybe it's just because I'm a defensive-minded person, but I think it's going to come down to the pitching. I mean, Chris Sale has been, no offense, not good as of late. I mean,
no, definitely. Yeah, Sale is in this month of September with a 3.72 ERA.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
And the Astros have enough pop. They have definitely enough bats to string together hits against that guy. And especially City Houston right after, you know, all that's happened to them. The crowds are gonna be electric. They haven't made the playoffs in a long time. They haven't been really contenders, I guess you could say, in a long time. I mean, Jose Altuve might win AL MVP.
Yeah, he probably will.
And so, I mean, however, I say starting pitching, but the Red Sox bats have got to be more consistent. I think if that, especially like their outfield bat, you know, with Benintendi, JBJ, you know, those kind of guys. I think if those guys come alive, I think they have a chance. I think it's going to be a competitive series.
Yeah, it's definitely going back to like that batting of the Red Sox. I mean, this is kind of like a Red Sox team that we've never seen before. It's not that Boston team that consists of the David Ortizes of the world, you know, those sluggers. Like Hanley Ramirez is not what he was last season.
Oh, no.
It's kind of a team where it's you need every working part to work. You know, you need every gear in this machine to work if it's going to win. So you need every player on the same page. I mean, everyone needs to be performing. It's a gritty team. It's a get on base and be aggressive on the base paths kind of team. But they are dangerous when they do get hot. I mean, we've seen flashes of excellence from the Sox, but I still think, I mean, Houston's offense, I don't think there's any debating it. Houston's offense has got some pop. I mean, it's way better than Boston's offense. I mean, you got George Springer. The leadoff guy has 34 home runs.
Yeah.
The leadoff guy.
Yeah.
And he's got 85 RBIs. And I guarantee you that if he's batting cleanup, he'd have well over 100.
He was injured for a part of the season as well.
Yeah. Yeah, think about that. And then, like you said, Jose Altuve batting 346 going into the playoffs. I mean, that's as consistent as you can get. And, yeah, like Houston kind of feels like the fan favorites with all that has happened with Houston. It's kind of like, it reminds me of like the 2013 series. I mean, a World Series with the Red Sox, that playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the Boston Strong with the Boston bombings and stuff. I mean, these are the kind of teams that, that, that kind of, in the end, pull it out.
Yeah, I think the Sox have a chance if they can just take one, take at least one game at Houston. You know, kind of. Yeah.
Well, do you think the Red Sox have enough to shut down that Houston offense? We got Chris Sale.
If Sale's on, I think that I think they have a chance any game that Chris Sale's on.
Oh yeah, I love the quote that he gave. It was yesterday or today, where he said that he's gonna pitch till his arm falls off. And I'll tell you what, the Red Sox are gonna follow him.
Sounds like he's a leader. Great that he is taking over for.
No, yeah, no, and they got Drew Pomeranz going game two. But the first game is going to be a good game, man. It's going to be like Chris Sale versus Justin Verlander.
We'll see which Verlander shows up though.
Exactly. So the last time Justin Verlander pitched was in 2014.
In a playoff game.
Yeah. In the playoffs. Yeah. That's what I mean.
They've
been
really bad as of late.
Yeah. 2014 when he had a 5.40 ERA. Ouch.
Did Kate Upton just break up with him or something like that? Maybe the reason.
But his career postseason ERA is sitting about a 3.39, 3.4. It's aight.
Not terrible.
It's aight. But we've seen, actually, I think it was like 2013 season. He went like one playoff run where he was like pitching with a 0.5 ERA. Like we know Justin Verlander.
You know what he's capable of.
And the last five starts, you know, ever since being with Houston, he's got a 1.06 ERA. Hmm. So he's hot. With 43 Ks in the past five games.
What is that like?
That's impressive.
8.8 a game or something like that.
Yeah.
Mind my math.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be the battle of the arms. If Chris Sale's got to bring it though. I mean, he can't be that Chris Sale of the past month. I mean, he's got to be that ace that he was for most of the season. And I think Boston has a chance. I think they have more of a chance of beating Houston than New York does of beating.
Yeah, I agree with
of
that.
Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this is going to be an intense matchup. It's going to be close. And this is coming from a Red Sox fan. I think it's going to be close. Houston has the advantage, but in no way is it going to be a blow, I don't think. I don't know.
No, yeah.
But that's if, you know, Boston is, like I said, they bring their A game.
We'll see.
All right, let's move on.
Hit me with some NL, baby.
Yeah, let's go to the NL. Let's start with your Cubbies versus the Nats.
Go, Cubs, go.
I don't know. Initial thoughts?
Initial thoughts are, you know what, this season has been up and down for me. I was scared at coming into the All-Star break, and our second half has been great, to say the least. And you know what, we got Kyle Hendricks going game one, which in my opinion is our most trustworthy starter, because Arrieta hasn't been the same Arrieta he was last year. But Like the Red Sox, I think it comes down to how consistent the Cubs' bats are. You know, if Chris Bryant can be himself, if Schwarber doesn't strike out three times a game, if those bats just come alive, Rizzo comes in clutch again, I think they have a chance. Nationals have had a lot of injury concerns this season. Bryce Harper's been out for a while, but he's back. We'll see how that goes. Scherzer tweaked something in his last start, so he's not even pitching game one.
You guys got Strasburg. Kyle Hendricks on the mound.
But
game one.
I mean, I think it comes down to if the Nationals are truly healthy or not, and if the Cubs can rekindle that postseason magic from last season.
Yeah, actually, is it Bryce Harper back?
He came back in the last game
of the season, right?
Yeah, he's been back for a couple of games, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, actually, I was looking at some like team statistics a little earlier today, and I thought that like Houston was the much better. I mean, that Washington was the much better pitching squad. But actually, in team ERA, the Nationals are at 3.88, but Chicago's only at 3.95. So it's closer than you think. But however, if you put the first three, you know, guys in the rotation for the Nats versus the first three guys in the rotation for Chicago, I take the Nats 10 times out of 10.
Of course.
I mean, these are guys that can win. Max Scherzer.
He's filthy.
Steven Strasburg.
Also filthy.
Gio Gonzalez. Had a solid season. Shaky as of late.
Yep.
But, I mean, these guys can perform.
We'll see. Should we talk about the Dodgers?
Yeah, let's go to the Dodgers. And then whoever.
MLB's best record however, have been absolutely train wrecks as of late. Jeez, I mean, Kershaw gave his first career grand slam this past month.
Yeah, that is true.
To a nobody in the Rockies. So, not saying anybody's a nobody because you're playing them in the National Baseball League, but you know, I mean, both teams know the Dodgers really well. I mean, whether the Rockies win tonight or the Diamondbacks win tonight, they know who the Dodgers are. They've played them a bunch of times. It's not going to be a surprise when they face Kershaw game one.
Yeah, is it just me that just doesn't trust the Dodgers in anything they do? I mean, we all saw how hot they were in the regular season, but it just feels like that's the organization that
Dodgers
I just can't trust in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think.
But they have that. No one's arguing that they don't have the talent.
No.
Because if there's any team, that's the most talented team in the league, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, Cody Bellinger got second in the NL behind Giancarlo Stanton for home runs this year. Like.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, they got Yu Darvish exactly for this moment. You know, yep. To kind of bulk that pitching staff. We'll see how it goes. I think no matter who we're doing this broadcast as the Arizona and Colorado game is going on, and I think regardless of who wins that game, I don't see any of them going past the Dodgers.
No, yeah, I think the Dodgers will pull it out, but it'll be
the Dodgers are too good, man.
A little bit of a scare.
Deep.
I think it'll be closer than people expect.
Yeah,
than the records show at least.
I feel like when it comes to the Dodgers, like I don't trust the Dodgers, but at the same time, like would I be surprised to make it a World Series? No, not at all.
No.
I mean, we'll see what happens. MLB's best record.
Anything can happen in October.
Yeah. All right.
All right. What's next, baby? Give me something different.
All right. You have your choice. Actually, let's go. Let's go some NBA stuff.
Yeah, give it to me. Big changes happening.
This is like some big changes. Yeah. All right. So the NBA switched to a new all-star format. This format consists of...
playground pickup basketball. Not that it wasn't anything before that, but now we're actually picking captains now.
This program consists of 12 players being picked from each conference. And of those 24 overall players, the two players with the highest amount of votes will be given captain positions in which they will choose 12 or 11 other players to play on their squads, therefore eliminating the East versus West All-Star game.
And I like
Michael,
how,
is this good for the NBA?
You know, first, I just want to say, I think it's hilarious how sports networks are already saying that it's going to be LeBron versus Steph as captains. Just saying. The season hasn't even
started
yet.
Okay, so if you don't think it's going to be LeBron versus Steph, then who is it going to be?
I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, it's way too early to say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's preseason.
Like, yeah, exactly. But, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I kind of agree with Stephen A. Smith said today on the first take. He said, you know, the problem with the All-Star game isn't the picking or the selecting and things like that. Because I think the majority of the same players are going to get picked for the All-Star game. The guys, you know, that are day in, day out All-Stars. But, you know, Stephen A. Smith said something interesting. He said, you know, you want to improve the All-Star game. How about you actually, like, play defense? Or how about you actually run some plays and, like, make it that real basketball game that we hope for. You know, he compared it that they play, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but they're playing tougher in the summer leagues. I mean, one of the most memorable games that sports fans can remember to this day wasn't even televised, and it was the Dream Team scrimmage, where East versus West was combined. They played all-out scrimmage. Some people say that was the greatest game they've ever watched, and that was the coaches, obviously. But just imagine if, like, they actually played. That no more East West, because let's be honest, this is actually a good move because the East have like two all stars now that were from last season. But if they actually played, I would watch that. Like, I would make that a point. That'd be sick. I don't know. What do you think though?
No, I don't know. I have a problem with that. I don't know if I'd call it a problem, but it's like, okay, the problem with the all star game wasn't like that in a sense, like, I don't know how to explain this. Like, the problem with the All-Star game that I feel like everyone was complaining about was that, okay, there's not enough all-stars in the East, and there's too many all-stars in the West, right? So we feel like people are getting robbed from the West, and people in the East were kind of just walking into the all-star game. I thought that was the problem, right?
That's fair.
That was the problem. This doesn't solve that.
No, it doesn't.
Because 12 players are still being picked from the East, and 12 players are being picked by the West. What does picking team captains do? How does that boost the entertainment? Okay, would it be sick to see LeBron James and like Kevin Durant play on the same team?
Yes.
Yeah, because we've never seen that before. But like, I don't know how much this solves. I feel like the NBA is just filled with this crap, just like stuff. It's almost as desperate as the MLB right now. It's like, but which is shocking because the NBA is doing fairly well right now. I mean, I feel like our generation is just watching the NBA like crazy. We love the NBA. We love basketball.
Yeah.
But it's filled with these just lame attempts to just try to, especially with the All-Star game.
It's just like they're trying to play like the whole like, okay, like, yeah, like our generation loves it, but our generation also like subtweeting. We also like,
yeah, we're
hiding
stupid.
Behind social media.
Stupid
and
millennials.
And so now all the sports networks are like, oh, would LeBron pick Kyrie for his team if it came down to it? Like, who cares?
That could be funny though. But at the same time, you're right. Who
like,
gives a
would
freak?
These guys be able to like play on the same team? If like, would he pick the captains? Like, all of a sudden, it's like playground drama that they can like just use to boost entertainment value. Which I understand that that's marketing and making money and it's a business. But
yeah.
As a true sports fan, I wouldn't care.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No. I agree. I'm still gonna watch the All-Star game. I'm like that guy. I'll watch the All-Star game like no matter what. I watch like the Home Run Derby and the MLB All-Star game, and people tell me it's like, why are you wasting your time? And I just say because
I like sports.
Yeah,
and you don't.
There you go. That's the answer. No, yeah, it's like, I mean, we've seen so many lame attempts with the dunk contest too. Like, who the heck knows what that's turned into. But
I think
NBA.
It went downhill when that guy, when Gerald Green blew out a cupcake.
Yeah, that's not so much the NBA's fault as it is the players' fault. You know, it's not so much the organization's fault, but it's like kind of people willing and wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, actually, well, we're not even going to talk about the slam dunk competition. We're in the preseason of NBA. We're going to actually we're going to move on. So the NBA took a poll of all of the other NBA GMs. And they asked him a few questions. One of them was, who is most likely to win MVP?
Oh, this is... Okay.
And guess who came out on top?
Well, obviously, LeBron James, the king himself.
Yeah.
You know, he runs
the
league.
So there's LeBron James coming at 50% of the votes. Kevin Durant at 29%.
James Harden.
Yeah, I have him write it down. I just have a J, though.
Okay.
I'm like... At 7%, the beard. Steph at 4%, and Russ at 0%. What stands out to you about those statistics that I kind of just dropped on you?
Okay. First off, it just shows how influential LeBron is in the league. And I guess he is that good. I understand that.
Well, I mean, would you take anyone else over LeBron right now?
No.
In the most early... MVP prediction possible right now in the preseason.
Okay, I can't say
that.
Would
you take anyone over LeBron?
I can't say I disagree with it. However, if I'm Russell Westbrook sitting right now, I just feel disrespected because he just came off a season where he averaged a triple double, won MVP, and no one thinks he has a chance.
I feel like Russ is always
and his team got better.
He's always getting disrespected, man. That's why like he's got a chip on his shoulder.
I think they're just jealous that he dresses better than everybody else. Maybe that's it.
That's debatable. Yeah,
icon Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Russ coming in at 0% was kind of shocking. LeBron at 50%, not shocking at all. Like,
yeah, I mean,
if someone put a gun to my head and said, "Who's gonna win NBA MVP right now?" You take LeBron James. I mean, do you say anyone else?
Kevin Durant, he's the best player in the world.
If he can stay healthy for an entire season.
He's playing with Steph, though. I hope they play team basketball and he doesn't have to win MVP.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams that could repeat, that GM poll, what, 93% of the GMs
so that
say
came
the Warriors?
At 93% of the GMs said the Warriors. So what shocks you more, that they predicted that the Golden State Warriors would win or that 93% of the GMs predicted the Warriors would win?
more shocking than 93% of the GMs.
Yeah.
Because, okay, the Warriors are good. They kept the whole team intact. I have
mad. They must not be allowed to vote for their own team.
It's got to be some rule like that because, honestly, like, the West, like, in my opinion, like, they are still the favorites, obviously. However, I think they're less of favorites now that Melo, PG3, and Russ are on the same team in the West.
It'll be a little harder.
CP3 and James, it's going to be harder, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. That's sports. Anything can happen.
But those teams could weed each other out, though, too.
True, true.
You know? Maybe they get another hard. I mean, let's not forget what Golden State did in the playoffs last year.
Oh, it was absolute filth.
That wasn't just winning. That was dominance.
Yeah.
They were manhandling teams.
I think they gave the Cavs a game. I watched that game. I don't think they were playing very hard.
No. So, like, if I'm a GM and I'm not allowed to vote for my own team, what are you going to say, Cleveland? I mean, okay, Cleveland could be a little better with the Isaiah Thomas trade, but, like, you're still going to take Cleveland over Golden State? Not a chance. No.
Up a point, Matt. Do you think Cleveland got better? This is a hot topic. People are saying that Kyrie made the biggest decision of his life sometimes.
Probably, but I don't care because you want to know why? Because the Celtics got better.
It's true. But did the Cavs get better?
I think they both got better.
Okay.
I think they both got better. I think they both won the trade.
I would agree with that.
I don't want to. Yeah, it's kind of like old news, but like, I think that just separates Cleveland and Boston even more. All right, no more of that, you know, Boston-Washington, like, heated series anymore. It's like we have two clear-cut Eastern Conference finalists. Yeah. Okay? We got the one and the two. Right now, I still take Cleveland over Boston.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't bet against LeBron James.
But I
want to see that series, though.
Take Golden State over both of them, obviously. That's
yeah,
pretty obvious statement. But yeah, what would be more interesting, actually, if the GMs were allowed to vote for their own teams,
yeah,
which would make it even funnier because they were saying, you know, our team like doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah,
like we're just gonna go ahead and get it to Golden State,
which brings up tanking.
Even in Boston, man, like, and that's like I was telling you this earlier today, like that's a winning culture.
It's true.
Over there, like those are where very good sports organizations are, and even in Boston, I mean. We know that, or they know. I'm gonna put we because I'm from New England.
Fair enough.
We know that we don't stand really a chance if put against Golden State in the finals. You know?
Yeah.
So like, I want to know that other 7% who they voted. It's like, well, I think Minnesota's gonna pull one out this year.
Hey, if there's a dark horse, it is Minnesota though.
Yeah, I feel like Minnesota could be decent.
My Bulls, you know, are just absolutely terrible. So now I got to root for the T-Wolves because Jimmy Butler's on the team. Not saying I'm vanwagoning. I'm just, you know, hoping.
Nah, Jimmy Butler deserves better. They could be the surprise, man. I could see it. Now, moving on again, I got something for you.
Okay.
Again, from that GM poll.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Each GM was asked to put together their best NBA lineup.
Really? Okay.
Okay. So this is what they came up with. At the one, Steph Curry.
Okay.
Then at the two, James Harden. Then LeBron, small forward. Anthony Davis at the four. And centering would be Big Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns. Is that the best lineup in the NBA?
No.
Why not?
If I'm allowed to play people out of position.
No, it has to be at the position.
Okay, then never mind then. Then yes, they got it right.
Then yes.
However, if this was my dynasty in NBA 2K18, okay?
Okay.
This is what I'm doing because I'm putting Steph at the one.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, I just feel like, okay, I'm putting Steph at the one, Russell Westbrook, they're just going to play combo guard. Actually, Steph is going to have the two because he's just more of a shooter. But I'm putting Kawhi at three, Kawhi Leonard, the Claw himself, because, you know, I like two-way players.
Okay.
LeBron has proved himself he can play four. So I'm gonna, and especially in the NBA today,
yeah,
with how small they're playing, I would put LeBron four, Anthony Davis five.
Yeah, you could argue that if you're allowed to put people like out of the position and stuff.
I think they got it right if they're playing true to position. However, if I'm Russell Westbrook, yet again I'm disrespected because I'm the MVP.
Yeah, but come on. Russell Westbrook is always being disrespected, like I said.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of his thing. Like, no one just
he
like,
likes it though.
It's kind of just like it. It's like one, just like a hidden rule in the NBA. It's just like, oh, like by the way, like don't give any respect to Russell Westbrook. But like he will prove you wrong. But like, but it's just still, yeah. Just like just keep treating that guy like he's just like a borderline all-star. Let's just forget,
that kid on UCLA,
let's just forget
just
that
like
he
a
had freaking. Let's just forget that he had like 1,000 triple doubles last season. Let's just forget it because he's Russell Westbrook and he's just the sidekick of KD, the former sidekick of KD.
Oh man.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty accurate. No, I mean, right. it's not really news.
I'll give him that.
All right, like best lineup: Curry, Harden, James, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I'll take that team. I can't really argue anyone else at the five other than Karl-Anthony Towns.
Who are you going to put, like?
Boogie.
Boogie.
Yeah. Not a chance.
No. Yeah.
Anthony Davis, which is going to actually little, like,
he's. I think foresight, he's the guy in the trade block this season, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, a little, like, inside into the, or I guess foreshadowing for this
bold
NBA
prediction,
season.
He is not on the Pelicans at the end of the season.
No, if they don't perform well, he will be, because he will have a lot of suitors. I mean, the Celtics already came out last season and said, oh, yeah, we're going to prepare to bring in AD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wow, actually, that yeah, that's going to be a story to follow. Yeah. But again, people, we're in the preseason.
Yeah, as we learned from the NFL, preseason doesn't really mean very much.
No.
Speaking of the NFL, had a pretty good weekend this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not going to go through every game, but, you know, give me some highlights.
Yeah, we won't go through every
game.
Let's start with this. Let's do a little biggest winners and losers of the NFL this week.
Okay.
All right, let's start with your biggest winner.
Biggest winner. Dark Horse Buffalo Bills.
The Dark Horse Buffalo Bills.
Biggest winner. Why? They just knocked off the Falcons. They're feeling pretty good. Tyrod Taylor's a little consistent, dare I say. Dare I say consistent.
Gosh, be careful with that.
I know. I'm
be
just,
careful with the C word.
I'm sorry.
That's usually not associated with Buffalo.
Oh, I know. But, you know, Shady himself, he's running well. Tyrod, playing a little consistent. Not doing anything special, but doing enough to get this team the victory. And anytime you go into the Superdome and beat the Falcons, that's impressive to me. They're leading the AFC East right now. Can't disrespect that.
Oh yeah, I think we talked about that actually in our like broadcast that like didn't air last week.
Yeah.
How like this was gonna be a closer game than people thought against Atlanta.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. And that's a big win for them.
Huge win.
Now
3-1.
Do they stand a chance of winning the AFC East?
No.
No.
But at least, I think they could
definitely
make
the playoffs. 4 games into the season. We're in week 5.
Dare I say, I think they can make the playoffs.
You think Tyrod Taylor can make the playoffs?
With how they're
bold prediction week 5.
Bold prediction week 5. I think they can make the playoffs.
Mark that. Write that down. Write that down, people.
No, I said bold. Remember that.
That's true.
But Matt, give me your biggest loser other than your Patriots.
I
want to
give you my biggest. I want to give you my biggest winner first.
Okay, give me a winner.
My biggest winner of week 4 of the NFL season are the Los Angeles Rams.
I knew you were going to say that, and I agree with you. I like that.
The Rams are the dark horses of the season. Who the heck would have thought that they would be in the position that they were at this time last season, right? Like,
after the way Jared Goff played last season.
Oh my gosh.
Who expected that?
The Rams are 5th in the league in passing yards right now.
It's incredible.
I mean, that's coming from Jared Goff. Who's he passing to? Cooper Kupp?
Sammy sometimes plays.
Sammy Watkins is sometimes of
sometimes
there if
he's
not getting draped by the opponent's number one corner. It's like
and the play
Robert Woods
apparently
like,
he has.
Yeah, it's like the Rams are 3-1 this season, man. Who would have thought
Cowboys,
that? Like, going in the season, like who the heck would have thought the Rams are 3-1? And that was a huge win this past week.
It was on the road,
beat the Cowboys
too.
On the road.
In Jerry World.
Todd Gurley's looking good. He's looking like Todd Gurley of old.
He is definitely the reason why my fantasy team is
they're first 4-0. In points scored.
And they have a pretty good defense, dude. That was the defense that they've been building, and then they finally got offense. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they're 26th in points against. So not only are they connecting on offense, but they're playing pretty dang well defensively as well.
Yeah.
Pretty dang well. Now, you think they're going to keep this up?
If I had two bold predictions? Yes, because of the division.
Oh, okay.
The division they play in, dude, it's terrible.
Okay.
Who's going to not? Okay, the Seahawks look absolutely awful. Like, okay, yes, they played better in the
second
half.
Except coming off a 46-18 win against the Indianapolis Colts.
The Andrew Luckless Colts. The 49ers, okay, yeah, Brian Hoyer, thank you. Like, better luck next year. And the Cardinals, without David Johnson. I mean.
So you think the Rams can win the division week five right now? You think that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to. I'm actually not going to disagree.
I think anytime you have a solid running back as they do, even when Jared Goff's off, they can still pound the ball.
Yeah, I don't think that Arizona offense is the same after losing David Johnson.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. It doesn't flow as nicely anymore.
Like, Todd Gurley led them in rushing yards and receiving yards last game. They don't even need a wide receiver. They need someone to go down and fill space.
They just need someone to – Jared Goff just needs someone to dump it off to, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm actually excited to see what the Rams are going to do for the rest of the season. But, all right.
Biggest loser.
Biggest losers.
We're not talking weight loss here. We're talking games.
I'll
start because my fantasy team took a nice loss this week. The Oakland Raiders.
Okay. Yeah.
Lost David Carr. Their offense is bad as the last two games. And now they're bringing in the former Buffalo Bill, E.J. Manuel, as their backup quarterback. Amari Cooper's had, let me see if I can do the math right, 3 fantasy points the last two games combined. He had 0.9 last game. they got to turn it around. They lost their quarterback for 2 to 6 weeks, maybe more with a back injury. You never know about those.
Yeah.
And they're my loser.
Yeah.
I think they're going to keep losing.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. But my biggest loser of the week is the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, geez.
In particular, your boy Jay Cutler. Okay.
Hey, he is not in his contract. It says he doesn't have to block. I'm just saying.
He doesn't have to run either, apparently. Okay.
He plays quarterback.
Miami's offense looks so bad.
Oh, gosh.
At the moment. I mean, we didn't have high expectations for the Dolphins coming in the season, but we thought like Jay Cutler would be kind of decent, right?
You can't blame it all on him, though. Dude, they only gave Jay Ajayi 12 carries or something like
12
that.
12 carries for 46 yards, though.
Feed the man.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, Jay Cutler had 28 attempts, but you're going against a New Orleans pass defense.
Oh, gosh.
Which is arguably the worst in the league. Okay, maybe not the worst, but one of the worst in the league. Like, you can put up points against New Orleans. You just got to look for the open guy. Jay Cutler finishes with 0 TDs and an interception.
Yeah, they should have done better. Let's just say that. They should have done better.
Yeah, it's like Jay Cutler is just that the offense is looking bad. And I don't know if they keep it up. I mean, again, we didn't have a lot of expectations for it. But that also, that leads into my most disappointing team of the season. And that, unfortunately, is my New England Patriots. So far, I can say this as a Patriots fan, as a New Englander born and raised, third generation in New England.
That's deep.
Great grandparents, straight off the boat from England.
Oh,
We never moved.
Mayflower, the Plymouth, or whatever it's called, Santa Maria.
So, they're disappointing. The Patriots are first in passing yards and second in points for. Okay, 32 points a game, and they're first in passing yards. The offense is looking as good as it's ever been, but it's that defense. It's so bad. They're so bad.
They
man.
Gave up 33 points to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, it's just and just watching that game, that stupid Stephen Gilmore penalty at the end of the Carolina game, man.
Completely necessary.
It's like, and I think to myself, okay, what's the problem with this defense? What's the problem? And I think it's easy to point out Stephon Gilmore for. Maybe their issues in the secondary, but I don't think.
Where's
it's
your
just
Super Bowl
him.
Hero Malcolm Butler though, dude?
Not showing up, man. And good thing we didn't pay that guy because so far he's not deserving of it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's communication errors. It's little things. They're trying to do more. They're trying to
to do more than they can do instead of just trusting the system that has worked so well in New England. We know that New England's defense, this is over the past 10 years, have never been, you know, recognized. Yeah, okay. They've never, I mean, okay, yeah, they've been amongst the top teams in turnovers, but they're kind of like that defense that's like, it's the bend but don't break mentality, right?
Yeah.
It's like you give up yards but don't give up points.
Mm-hmm. Just give up, and just now give up we're enough giving points up, to Tom Brady can score more.
Yeah, we're giving up yards and we're giving up points, and we're just expecting Tom Brady to make up the rest. And right now, Tom Brady's having an MVP-esque season so far.
He leads the league in passing yards.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You mentioned MVP. We've made a lot of too early predictions on the show so far. Who's the MVP this year?
Brady.
If not Brady, who is?
Brady.
Okay, fair enough.
Brady wins MVP this year. I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
Because as much as I'm disappointed in this Patriots defense, they're going to turn it around. When would you ever bet against the Patriots?
I mean,
I don't care how big of a Broncos fan you might be,
or a Seahawks,
or like a Jets fan, or any of those other. It's like, I mean, I respect those organizations. Please don't be offended.
Yes, wait. If you're listening I'm a Bears fan. Okay, it doesn't get worse than that.
Yeah. But who in their right mind would bet against Bill Belichick and the Patriots? Who thinks that they can't turn this around? Okay, actually, probably some people. But, like, I don't think that they're going to continue with this. I think they figure it out, man. Okay? Because on paper, that team is looking way too dang good to be this bad. I mean, if you put this defense on roster compared to last season's roster, I mean, they're better. They upgraded. They still have Patrick Chung. They still have Devin McCourty. They upgraded with Stephon Gilmore. They still have Malcolm Butler.
They just got to get healthy, to be honest, dude. There's been way too many injuries, too.
The Patriots?
Yeah. On the defense, like linebacker position. Dude, you guys had, like, the scout team.
Well, Dante Hightower was out for a while, but he should be back. Last game. Yeah, no, he should be back soon. But, yeah, that's attributed to the poor run defense as well. Yeah. I mean, not only were you giving up passing yards, like, it's run defense is a terrible problem as well. But I think they turn it around. I think Matt Patricia's way too good of a defensive coordinator for them not to turn it around.
He's the real beard, dude.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
That guy should get it.
But they turn it around, and Brady continues in excellence. I just doesn't it just sound like a sports headline to you? Like 40 years old, like MVP?
Yeah, it does.
Like, doesn't it? I know. I mean, okay, people will make the case for Aaron Rodgers.
And, Packers aren't playing well enough for that.
I mean, and both kind of Rodgers and Brady had slow week one starts, and Aaron Rodgers was flawless on Thursday night. They played Thursday night, right?
They played against the Bears.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, still. It comes down to those two, but I'm taking Brady, man. I'm taking the GOAT. He's gonna continue to put up MVP numbers.
He's breaking the Madden curse so far.
So far, knock on wood. Let's not jinx that. Yeah, please, gosh, everyone that's listening, knock on wood. But yeah, we don't wanna talk all about the Patriots in this broadcast because we know how painful that is for some people.
Let's talk about the other team and a guy by the name of Cam Newton who.
Yeah, actually, let's talk about this.
Pretty,
this is funny.
Pretty.
Actually, it's not funny.
It's not funny. That's funny. For all you women out there, we respect you 100%. You can run all the routes you want and talk about them, and we will respect you. Disclaimer. But, yeah, what do you make of that, man? Like,
well, like, I just...
How
I just,
old is Cam I Newton, 12?
Yeah, I just go on the, like, ESPN, like, website, and it just says, top headlines, Panthers Newton laughs at female reporter. Like, and then you just click on it, and you're just like, wait, what?
Like,
and then
wait.
You watch the actual video. If you haven't watched the video, go ahead and watch that. And tell me... I would try watching that without feeling awkward.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't know the story.
First off, it's the dyed goatee. Please, I can't get over it.
Yeah, no,
it's
getting
terrible.
Uglier by the day. So if you haven't heard the story, this is what happened. It's that during a press conference, okay, with Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. He laughed at a female reporter after she asked him a question about Devin Funchess running some pass routes for him. And Cam Newton, while she's asking this question, kind of giggles. He kind of giggles and says that it's funny to hear a female reporter talking about a female talking about routes.
I'm still confused by it because, like, I'm a college student. I can twist my mind sometimes, but I just don't see how that's funny. Ever. Like, even if he's talking to a guy, like, what? Maybe I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not getting the joke. Like,
who says that? Is he an idiot? What's wrong with him? Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
But my favorite part of the story is the actual video itself, because how awkward it is.
We'll play you guys the clip here.
Yeah, we'll have to find that.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. We're gonna. This is a big game for him.
He just like smiles. And he's just like, it's funny to hear a female talk about routes. And it's just like, and you just hear in the background, it's just crickets. There's nothing. It's just dead silence. And he's just sitting there laughing to himself. It's like he's just like grinning. It's like, it's funny. And he just continues with the response as if it's like, okay.
I think the worst part of the story is that, you know, she tweeted about it afterwards about, like, you know, disrespect she got and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone asked her if she talked to him after. And she said it was worse. He said that he made more comments. Dude, like, we live in a world where anything you say behind closed doors will be made public if you are stupid enough. And he somehow found a way.
Yeah, so, like, not only does the NFL have problems with, like, protesting right now, like, let's just throw... you know, not only is like Black Lives Matter and after the NFL and everyone else, basically,
and now
that's against
sexism.
Them kneeling for the, yeah, now we have sexism. Now we have all the feminists coming after the NFL.
Who's not against the NFL right now? Gracious.
It's like, it's a lose-lose situation. Like, okay, no, it's not a lose-lose situation because Cam Newton should have never done that. How immature
just like
is that?
Darren Woody said, it was just flat immature.
That's the quarterback in Carolina. He's feeling awfully confident after that win in New England.
Feeling himself after that, yeah. Seriously, a little too cocky. We'll see. We'll see if he keeps it up. Which we can do a little hot shot predictions right now. Go through the games coming up this weekend, starting tomorrow.
Actually, before we do that though, I want to ask you a question.
Okay, hit me.
Okay, week 5 in the NFL. Who's the best team in the league?
Do you want to get mad right now, or do you want me to like say my actual answer?
I want you to answer honestly. Who's the best team in the league?
The best team in the league to me right now is it. I mean, I don't mean to be like a record looker at her, but it's the Kansas City Chiefs, man. Kareem Hunt going into the game Monday night could have rushed for 0 yards and still been the NFL's leading rusher. He's tearing it up. Alex Smith is looking just like the great Alex Smith that he can be sometimes, not throwing interceptions. And that defense is good enough, in my opinion. The way the offense is running, they're good enough.
Yeah, no, they're...
They've shown that they can win games even when they're not at their best.
Yeah,
and I think that's what greatness is.
They're first in rushing yards with 163.5 yards per game rushing. And they're third in points for.
Do you agree with that or are you disagreeing with me?
No, I agree. Right now.
Right now.
Right now, we're going into week 5 of the NFL NFL regular season. The Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in football.
Yeah.
Right now. Will this be the case, you know, 5 weeks from now? Or 10 weeks from now? I don't think so.
Okay. Who's gonna finish with the best record? We're just riding the trend of way too
best record. Oh, I think Kansas City could very well finish with the best record in the NFL.
Okay,
but that doesn't mean they're the best team.
Fair enough.
I stick with my New England claims.
Okay,
that they come back. I stick with Green Bay, and I think those two teams kind of They may not have the better record by the end of the season, but I think I still take both of those teams in.
You think that's
in the Super Bowl, with a Super Bowl win over Kansas City? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But right now, Alex Smith is like looking like an MVP.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. Not only are they playing good offense, they're playing good defense too. Kirk Cousins had the highest completion percentage of any quarterback that played them this season, this past week. Guess what that was?
52%.
58%.
There you go.
Yeah. 58%. Kirk Cousins.
That's the high.
Good job, Kirk.
Catch like, Kirk.
Yeah, they're playing well on both sides of the ball, man. They're looking dang good. And I think the key is for Alex Smith to keep that up. It's going to be interesting going into this next matchup. Who they got? They got Houston. That could be a decent battle, right?
The Texans close than 57 points.
We said
last week.
Yeah, that's true. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll see how long this. Do you think they stay undefeated this going into Week 5?
I think they beat the Texans. Yeah.
You think they beat Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably. I think they agree with that.
It's they got the Sunday night game again, prime time. I think they overwhelm Deshaun Watson. I mean Deshaun Watson's playing well and he's a gamer, but sometimes you get outclassed by the more experienced people.
Yeah. I'd agree. Yeah, Kansas City, best team in the league as of now.
Yeah,
let's not look too far into it, but they're looking pretty dang good.
Yeah,
looking pretty dang good.
Well, we're at the 51-minute mark on the show, so maybe we should end with a couple predictions going in.
Yeah, let's do some rapid-fire predictions.
Maybe scores, bold predictions.
Let's do this. Let's do this. You give me your prediction of that game. You give me a score.
Okay.
And I'll give you a score.
Okay.
All right.
Starting with Thursday night game, Patriots-Buccaneers. Patriots 28-27.
Patriots 28-27?
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm going New England 35, Tampa Bay 31. I think we both agree it's going to be a pretty close matchup. It's going to be a battle of the offenses.
I need Jameis to perform.
All right.
All right, Bills-Bengals. I'm going to go Bills 23, Bengals 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Andy Dalton does that again.
Okay. I go Buffalo 17, Cincinnati 24. Andy Dalton's hot.
Okay.
Buffalo defense is a little stingy, but I think Andy Dalton continues since he gets the win this week.
Okay. Jets Browns, not the most high powered
matchup. We're gonna have to set a reminder on our phone to go watch that.
But the Cleveland Browns get their first win of the season, 17-7.
Ooh.
At home.
I'm going Jets 17-10.
Okay. Panthers Lions. I'm gonna go. Now Cam Newton's gonna get off his high horse. I'm gonna go Lions 21, Panthers 17.
Yeah, I got 24-20 Detroit. They're playing in Detroit. I don't think they can keep up with Matt Stafford in that offense.
Ooh, speaking of great matchups, 49ers Colts.
Man,
you know what? I think Jacoby Brissett. I think he leads him to a win. I'm gonna go. I think it's gonna be low scoring though. Maybe like 20-14. Brian Hoyer gets a couple maybe a touchdown or two. Side breaks out.
I'm taking San Fran in this one.
Okay.
I'm taking San Fran. I think Brian Hoyer plays well. I'm actually putting him way more points than probably people think. I'm giving him 24-13, San Fran.
24-13.
Okay. Pierre Garçon has two touchdowns.
Okay. The Marcus Mariota-less Titans against the Dolphins in Miami.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler bounces back. 28-24, Dolphins.
I agree. No, Jay Cutler bounces back. He's going to have two touchdowns. Jay Ajayi's going to have the other. I'm going 21-14 Miami. They're playing in Miami. This is when Miami has a chance to get back on track.
Two, next up, Giants, Chargers, both teams looking for their first win. It's in New York, though, which influences my pick that the Giants get their first win of the season. Phillip Rivers continues to be unlucky, and the Giants win by a field goal 24-21.
Yeah, I'm going 21-20 Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm going the Chargers in this one.
Okay.
I just feel like Phillip Rivers is just so dang unlucky that I think they catch a Giants offense that's in one of their notorious slumps and they pull it out in New York. So,
yep. Okay. Cardinals Eagles. Carson Wentz is looking really good. I can't bet against that. I'm gonna go 35-14 Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going 21-14 Eagles. I take the Eagles in this one. I think that defense
is looking a lot better than I.
Yeah, it kind of shuts down that Arizona offense. But yeah.
All right, Jaguars Steelers. I think Big Ben gets on track against the Jaguars in Pittsburgh. I'm gonna go, but I think it's gonna be closer than people think. I'm gonna go 24-20 Steelers.
Yeah, no, I'm going 24-10. I don't really see Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville, I feel like it's better than people think. I don't know. But then again, it's like Blake Bortles, and I hear that name, and I'm just like, eh. No, I'm going Pittsburgh
24-10. Okay. Ooh.
Le'Veon Bell has a fest out there.
I think if they give him 30 carries again, I mean, he will have no choice but to go off. Big divisional matchup, Seahawks-Rams. Okay, your surprise team, Rams. At home against the Seahawks, and you know what? They get the victory, but in a low-scoring game, 20-14 Rams.
Okay. Yeah, like I know that I was like super high on the Rams earlier in the podcast, but I'm picking Seattle to win. It's going to be super close, though. I got 21-20 Seattle. I just think that Seattle is just going to come in rolling after that. I mean, granted, they were playing Indianapolis next week, but, I mean, they scored, what, 46 points or something like that?
Yeah.
Hopefully that offense in Seattle gets back on track and is at the level that everyone kind of expects them to be at. So I'm giving the win to Seattle.
Yep. Next up, Ravens-Raiders, two offenses that are not looking too good. However, games in Oakland. With that being said, though, Baltimore gets the win, and it's not going to be a pretty game. Quarterback play is not going to be great, but you know what? I'm going to go Ravens 21-20.
Yeah. Actually, I had Oakland 17-14, but I actually think I'm going to give Baltimore this win just because like EJ Manuel is going to be playing for Oakland. Like,
yeah.
Do I need to like explain? No. But then again, like Baltimore is looking pretty dang bad this season, man. Like, yeah, they got some problems. They got some real problems. I'll probably go 14-10. Baltimore gets the win over Oakland. Ooh, that's pretty. That's like semi-bold prediction, but okay. Semi-bold. Continue.
Well, this will be a good game. Packers-Cowboys in Dallas. I'm going to go with a shootout. I think Aaron Rodgers pulls it out. I'm going to go 40-35.
Wow. Packers. I go 35-27. Green Bay. Okay. I'd say Green Bay over Dallas in this one, even though they're playing in Dallas. Just no reason really. I just like
can't bet it. Betting against Aaron Rodgers is hard.
It's not my Bears thing.
It's hard.
Yeah.
All right, the Sunday night game, Chiefs Texans. We just kind of mentioned this one. I'm gonna go Chiefs 28-14.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt rush for over 100 yards. I think it's pretty inevitable.
I think yeah. I'm giving Kansas City the win 30-24. Kansas City remains undefeated going to week five. So
all right, and the Monday night game on ESPN.
Oh gosh,
the
prime time
game. It's the start of Mitch Trubisky's career, his first ever start at home in Chicago against the Minnesota Vikings with Case Keenum. Don't call me biased, however, I think ESPN needs a story, and they're gonna get it, and the Bears are gonna win 21-20 on a fourth quarter comeback by Trubisky. I'm hoping.
I'm taking Minnesota in this one. But I'll tell you what, I'm pretty dang scared for the Vikings right now with Dalvin Cook going down with an ACL injury out for the rest of the year. Their running games, that's a huge hit. But I really like Minnesota's defense. I really like it, and they're really good against the run. And I don't see Chicago pulling this one out. I gave it 14-10 Minnesota, but Trubisky gets a touchdown.
He plays better than Glennon, you think?
Case Keenum?
No. You think?
Oh, the plays better than Mike.
You think they're going to have to talk about if Glennon would have done better?
No.
Okay.
No, but I think he gets a touchdown.
Okay.
But I still give him like, I'll probably give him like two interceptions.
Fair.
But then again, like that Minnesota defense. I mean, Sam Bradford's coming back. Not like that's like a huge upgrade. And then like Case Keenum's actually like not doing too bad.
He won games in Houston.
He's doing pretty well. But Sam Bradford could be on back, could be back on track, which means Kyle Rudolph could be used more and maybe could make up for the running game. I don't know. Probably not, though.
Possible.
Anyway, long story short, give the win to the Minnesota Monday night.
Cool. Well, we're about out of time, folks. Thanks for listening to our first ever podcast.
Yep.
It's Third and Chill. And we did do what we said. We talked sports.
We did our best.
We'll see you next week, boys.